Matthew 24, and find you verse 13. There are different types of messages, different ways you format, structure a message. One of the ways is expositional, which is what you hear me do most of the time. It's what you mostly, you're just trying to expose the text. You take it verse by verse as it is written. It's one of the best forms of preaching because through that, you don't skip anything, number one. But then number two, you see it as it's written. So it is written in an order. And so we unfold it as God intended it to be unfolded. So that is one way to preach. But there's another way that's also helpful, I think, from time to time. And that is a topical message. And so that's when you would take a topic, you find where it threads through all of Scripture. And you just bring it and try and drive home the point that the Bible says overall, not in just one passage, but overall. And so that's what I'm going to try to do today. It's a little bit of a break from Matthew, the trail through Matthew, and I'm going to park on one verse and follow the thread of that through Scripture. So that's where I'm going. I want to speak to you today on the incredibly critical idea of endurance in Christian living. It is a absolute necessity of Christian living. You'll see that as we look in these verses. So, if you're there in Matthew 24, I'm going to read just one verse, and so it'll be real brief. But if you would, stand with me as we read this one verse, Matthew 24, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Let me read it one more time. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Let's bow and pray. Our Lord, as we look into your word and this idea which is throughout the Scriptures, give us the importance of it. To not be sort of casual about it, but to see the strength that you give it, to see the importance, the heightened importance there is to it. And help us to drive this home in our own lives that we might endure, as this verse says, to the end. So I pray that you'd be the speaker here this morning. As you speak through me, you speak into my heart, you speak into each one's heart. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Matthew 24, just picking up where I was a couple weeks ago, three weeks ago now, Jesus is giving what the end times will look like. So what will the end of the world look like? He says this picture, it's going to be like essentially giving birth. There are going to be contractions. These contractions will get closer and closer and more intense and more intense and more intense until the whole thing erupts into the new heaven and the new earth. That's Matthew 24, verses 1 through 15 in a nutshell. But he describes what those contractions will look like. And if you remember this from back when, he says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be tribulation, intense persecution of Christians. There's going to be many false prophets that lead many astray. But through all of that, he comes to verse 13 and he says this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures through all of that will be saved. Now, this phrase has always kind of hung in my mind. I don't know why, but it just kind of hangs there, and it's a constant reminder. The one who endures to the end will be saved. I think it speaks to a need that you and I have, and it speaks to a responsibility that you and I have. That's the need for endurance. In fact, this is not the first time that Jesus mentioned this. Go back in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. It's not very far back. And I want to show you that Jesus actually has mentioned this once before in a little bit different context. In Matthew chapter 10, and I want you to find verse 22, but I'm going to give you kind of the context leading up to that. He's sending out the 12. He says, you're going to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. You're going to heal, you're going to raise, you're going to cleanse, you're going to cast out demon, you're going to raise the dead, I think I mentioned. Verse 16, he says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. They're going to deliver you over to courts down in there. He says they're going to flog you. He says you're going to be hated. But then if you got verse 22, and about midway through that verse, he says this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Sound familiar? So he says it in the end times, but he also says it in the sending out of the disciples. And he says the same thing, whether it's at the end of the world or whether you are just going out and doing ministry in the day-to-day thing. He says, though it is the one who endures to the end. It is that person that will be saved. I think this is a critical message of the Bible. I think this is a great need in our hearts today. And that's just because the reality is that life is difficult. Life is hard. There's things in life that hurt and stuff that makes you want to quit, stuff that makes you not want to go another step. You've all probably felt discouragement at some point, spiritually speaking. And you know, just general discouragements in life do impact you spiritually. And so that's why I think this is a critical message for us. And so I want to aim this really at two groups of people this morning. Number one, I want to speak to those who are worn and want to give up. I don't know if you sit there or not, but there are people, and you come like this time to time. If you are not there, you might get there. Maybe you have been there, but you just know that's something of Christian living. You get worn, you get tired, and you kind of want to quit. So I'm going to speak to that group. And then number two, I'm going to speak to those who think that you can make a profession of faith and then walk away or fade away and still get to heaven. In other words, you expressed faith at one point in life, but you are being tempted to quit. Or you have the desire just to call it good and go another path. Those are the two groups that I want to speak to. To one, in a word of encouragement and exhortation, and to the other, a word, maybe more, of warning. Here's the big idea. God calls you to endure as a Christian all the way to the end. You see where I'm getting that from the scripture? God calls you to endure as a Christian all the way to the end. Walk you through a set of questions. Don't try to write these down. I'll come back to them. I'm just giving you a roadmap so you know where I'm going. Four questions I want to ask this morning. Number one, what does it mean to endure? Number two, what are some things we are called to endure in this lifetime? Number three, why should I endure to the end? And number four, how do I then endure? So we just start with number one here. What does it mean to endure? Set of words with a word picture with each of them. What does it mean to endure? Number one, it means to remain or to abide. This would be the picture of an oak tree. If you picture a tornado coming through, and depending on the tornado, you know, there's a lot of trees that are tipped over, but there's some that stay standing. And oak trees have a deep taproot, and so they have a lot more strength. A lot of times those might be the ones that are left standing. And so when the Bible calls you to endure, he's saying, remain as an oak tree. Don't let the winds blow you over. Don't let them break you. That's number one. Number two, he says, this idea would be to remain or to not flee. This would be like a soldier in an intense battle. And you know, gunfire in every direction, but he does not run backwards. He remains where he is. He does not recede. And so that would be number two. Number three here, I think you could describe it as bearing or not breaking. You ever took a stick? You notice that sticks can bend quite a bit before they break. The idea of this is it's okay to be bent. It's okay to feel that tension, but just don't let it snap. You don't let your faith snap like that. Paul said it this way. He talked about this in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, you know, just kind of struggle in our mind, but he says we're not driven to despair. And so here is Paul explaining what it means to endure. We endure it all, and we don't break. And then I think the last way you could the last way before I give you a sentence description, to not give up, to not quit. an athlete in a long distance race. Did any of you run long distance? Okay, track, cross country. Thank you. Track, cross country. I did the 1 mile in junior high. I just learned I don't need to do long distance anymore. It's just awful. It just is. I don't know why anyone does cross country. I look at all these kids doing cross country. I'm going like, what? Like, what? Why? It's terrible. But, you know, see these athletes run these long distance races, and you can tell their body is hurting. They are hurting, but they don't stop. They don't quit. They press on, and they endure. And here's just a definition, a one-sentence definition. To persevere, what does it mean to endure? It means to persevere under misfortunes and trials and to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. And so when Jesus says in verse 13 of Matthew 24 that those who endure to the end will be saved, he's saying that those who do not quit, those who do not throw in the towel, those who do not hang it up and wave the white flag, it is those people who will be saved. That's number one. Number two then is this. What are some things that we are called to endure in this lifetime? What are some things that you as a Christian are going to be called to endure? Some of these are spiritual, some of these are physical, but like I said, some of the physical, mental things, they always affect you spiritually. Always do something with your faith. And so you can really put your own anything in this. What are some things you are called to endure? What are you going through right now? God calls you to endure it. What went on in your past that still bothers you today? God calls you to endure it. What might happen to you in the future? You just name anything, and God calls you to endure. I'm just going to be very broad here, but trials, difficulties, temptation, persecution, loss, sorrow, disappointment. The want to quit, the want to walk away, the want to have an easier life, just go with the flow. Is that a real temptation among Christians? Oh, it's an incredible temptation. You look at the path that you got to walk as a Christian, and sometimes you look at those not walking as a Christian, you go like, well, their path looks so much easier. Just go with the flow. Just, you know, laugh with the buddies and don't have to stand for anything. And that temptation is there. God calls us to endure a difficult marriage, a difficult relationship, depression. And so just what are you facing? It could be something in your past, could be something in your present, could be a particular person, the loss of a loved one, a difficult family relationship, a child-parent relationship, some kind of financial matter. It could just be a lackadaisical attitude. And I know some people feel like this. I know I should care, but I don't care. I want to care, but I don't care. And so that drives me to want to just quit. But when you face that kind of mentality, God has one word for you. Endure. Endure. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't hang it up. Whatever you are facing, whatever you are going to face the rest of your life, he says, I know it's going to be hard. I know that it's going to hurt. I know that it's heavy. But this is Jesus' call to you this morning. Endure it. Keep going. Make it to the end. All right. Number three. Why should I endure to the end? I hope you got your Bible. I hope that you're ready to find some verses because I'm going to have you flip a lot more than normal. Go to the book of Romans and find chapter 5. I won't have you flip to everything that I'm going to read, but some of them that are clumped together I think will be helpful to look up. So Romans chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. And we ask this question, why should I endure? Why not just hang it up? Why not quit? What point, what benefit is there in pressing on? And number one, because I think through it, in fact, I don't think this is in the Bible, through endurance, you gain hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 4. Let's go back to verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces, what's the word? Hope. There's a domino effect here. Sunlight is hot. You experienced that this past week? I mean, sunlight, it's hot. It burns. Sunlight is a trial. Let's put it that way. What does sunlight do to a plant's leaves? If it has water, let's say that. It produces photosynthesis. Photosynthesis produces what? Growth. So you have trial, you have endurance, you have hope. When the sun beats down and you endure it, essentially what that is photosynthesis through you. And what that grows up in you is hope. It's hope. All right, go forward. I told you I'd have you flip a little bit. This one's clumped together. Go forward a couple pages, Romans chapter 15. And it's verse 4 once again. So Romans 5, 4, this one's Romans 15, 4. Sometimes I hear preachers like, turn to Romans 15, 4, and I start reading right away. I used to sit there and just be deeply annoyed, like, I'm not there yet. So I sit here and wait for the pages to stop. So Romans 15, 4, if you see it, here we go. For whatever was written in our former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have, and what's your word? Hope. We might have hope. He says, whatever was written in the former days, it's for our instruction. And through endurance, through fighting the fight, through continuing, not quitting, and not giving up, he says, through that, you gain, what's the word? Hope. Hope is what gets you out of bed in the morning. If you have no hope, you don't get out of bed. If you have no hope, usually suicide is what follows. If you have just an ounce of hope, you will get out of bed. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. It's what leads you forward. It's the idea that better things are coming if I get out of here. When you have no hope, you just lay there and say, there's nothing better than for me to lay here right now. But hope is what gets you up. Hope is what moves you. And so hope is the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. It's the part that just tells you there's good things ahead. Endurance is what grows that up in you. If hope is the seed sprout, endurance is that photosynthesis. Let me talk about exercise here for a second. I've become an expert on exercise this past week. my family's gone. I'm in the evening, and I'm thinking, you know, well, I got to find something to do. I got plenty to do, but it's 100 degrees outside. So I thought, what better thing could I do than go ride a bike in 100 degrees? So I hop on this bike, and I learned a few lessons about endurance. I'm thinking, you know, this will make a great, I'm going to teach myself some endurance here. I might have something to say. God speak to me in these next moments of misery. But anyway, I just went on this bike ride, and I could just tell you, and you could say it too. Have you ever done exercise? Anyone done exercise? I hope. Exercise is really good for you. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. It has impacts on the brain, and it just does something within you. It's not fun, though, and that's the problem. But when you do it, if you've ever done like intentional, formal running training, anything, when you get done with it and you endure all of the misery, I mean, after you get kind of over the, I'm so sick and miserable and just want to lay here and die, once you get over that part, do you feel good? There's something in you. I mean, chemicals released, whatever you want to call it, it just, there's this good feeling in you. That then produces the ability to do it again. And so you said that made me feel good. And so next time I can endure a little bit more. This is endurance and hope. When you endure something, then you get through it. You look back and go, hey, look, I did that. I can do this. And then you endure this and say, hey, look, this part of my life is really difficult right now. And it's hard to handle, but I made it through that. So I can make it through this. And what builds within you is hope. And you essentially are looking to God and saying, hey, you walked with me through that. I know that you can walk through me with this. And the more that you experience God through your difficulties, your trials, and having to endure through those things, the more you look and go, hey, look, I know God is real because he helped me. I experienced it. I know he's there. And now you have this greater and greater hope that keeps you looking toward the future in heaven. So you see how endurance produces hope. That hope then helps you endure more, which then produces more hope. And you have this positive domino effect. But it all starts with you just enduring. Enduring in the little things. That's number one. Why should I endure to the end? Because through it, I gain hope. Number two, go forward in your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Why should I endure? Because it's possible to fall away. The book of Romans is kind of like the cornerstone of all Paul's letters. All of his letters follow Romans. And then Hebrews kind of becomes the big book, the cornerstone of the rest of the epistle letters. And so you got one cornerstone, Romans, then you got the second cornerstone, which is Hebrews. That's your New Testament in a nutshell. Hebrews chapter 3. I don't know what I said the first time, but Hebrews 3, verse 12. Why should I endure to the end? And the answer is because it's possible to fall away. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says this, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Verse 14. "For we have come to share in Christ." I'm going to read that again. Verse 14. "For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold out original confidence firm to the end." He says at the beginning of verse 12, take care. He says at the end of verse 12, unless there's be an unbelieving heart that grows up in you and it leads you to fall away from the living God. This is the idea of drifting. Picture a boat. It's got no sail. It's got no anchor. It sits on the shore. The waves come on the shore. It draws that boat out to water. What now controls the direction of that boat? It's the sea, the wind, whatever. And it drifts away from that shore. And this is the writer of Hebrews saying, take care lest a heart springs up within you that lets you drift away from the shore. You have need of endurance. You have need to hold your original confidence firm to the end. It is possible to walk away. You don't have to turn to this one. Stay in Hebrews because I got a couple more there. But here's another one. It's possible to fall away. Acts 14, 22, number three, because it is possible to walk away. Acts 14, 22, Paul says this on his missionary journey. He says, "I went about strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Why does he encourage disciples to continue in the faith unless you could walk away from the faith? Those two kind of pair together. Third one, still in Hebrews 3, bounce back up to verse 6. Why should I endure to the end? Because it keeps us in his family. That's just taken straight from the text. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. "But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope." We are his house. You notice that? If indeed we hold fast. Implying if you don't hold fast, you're not his house. You're not his dwelling place. You're not his family. That's what he's saying. It keeps us in his family. Flip forward to Hebrews 10. And I'll show you one more. I think I actually got one more after this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Why should I endure in the end? verse 36. Why should I endure? Because it is the road to receiving the things that God has promised us. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. See that plain and clear? You have need of endurance. Why? So that you can receive the things that are promised to you. Very simple. Hebrews 10, I won't have you flip to this one, but this is in James 1:12. Why should I endure to the end? Because it is the road to obtaining the crown of righteousness. James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. That is the man who endures trials. Blessed is the man who endures trials. For when he has stood the test of time, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Endurance is the road to obtaining the crown of life. All of these just summarize what Jesus says in Matthew 24. He who endures to the end will be saved. Why endure to the end? Very simple, because it's the way of salvation. It's the way of salvation. This does not at all take away from Christ being the only way. But what this is saying is that you have to stay on that highway. If you're trying to get to a destination and you jump off the highway, you going to make it to that destination? That's what endurance is. It's staying on the highway that leads to the destination. Does that take work? Yes. Does that take effort? Yes. Does that take laying aside some weights? Yes. Does that take some focus? Yes. Does that take some cutting things off so you can stay on this path? Yes. But you know what the Bible says? It says, wide and easy is the gate that leads to destruction. It is narrow, it is hard, is the way that leads to eternal life. And you have need of endurance to stay on that narrow and hard way. Now, I don't know if, I don't think I've lost most of you. It seems like you're still mostly with me on this one. If you're thinking through some of this, you might think, how does this pair then with eternal security? Because on one hand, I'm saying you have to endure to the end, but on the other hand, you have this promise of the Bible, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life, they will never perish. Nobody can snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Nobody can snatch them out of my Father's hand. They will never perish, is what he says. He says elsewhere, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So what? Once saved, always saved? Yes. If you're truly saved. How do you know whether you're truly saved or not? Endurance will prove that. You know, one of the first things that I mention to anyone who makes a profession of faith, one of the first things I'll say is now that you have made this profession, the rest of your life will prove whether that was true in you or not. In other words, you did not just get a free ticket to heaven and a free ticket to go live whatever life you want to get. But you have just made a profession. If that is true, Christ has truly saved you. But what will be the evidence that you are truly saved? God's power will be on you and you will endure to the end. Is that all your responsibility? Is that all something God does in you? Where do you pair the eternal security with your responsibility of enduring and putting effort into that? I think the answer just comes from that Philippians passage. You remember this? It is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What's the beginning of that passage? Work out your salvation. You got a job to do. You work out your salvation. You endure to the end. You stay on the straight and narrow path. That's God's call on your life, but where's the power going to come from? God will work in you. God will help you through that. And so these two do go hand in hand. All right, that is number three. Why should I endure to the end? Number four, and the last one. How do I endure? How do I endure? Well, number one, keep your aim in the right direction. I don't know if you flipped to this one too. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. How do I endure? You keep your aim in the right direction. Paul is writing to Timothy in this. And he gives them the very clear instruction of here's how to keep it straight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. You ever watch the Olympics? The marathon runners? You ever watch that? Just really skinny little people, usually. I mean, just skinny as can be. But somehow, they can run that race. I want you to picture a guy who's running a marathon. I want you to picture him running a route through the city. You just take Salina, if you know the city of Salina. He's running down that, I think it's 9th Street. Is that what all the big businesses are on? He's running down that street. And you know along those paths, they usually have water for the marathon runners. They're great stations from the stop at. Keeps them cool, keeps them hydrated. They grab one, they chug some, they chuck it. He's running down the street. He looks at those, he's taking them, but then he goes, you know what, I could really go for a pop. Just, you know, I'm really thirsty. So instead of there, he takes a little diversion into the Burger King. Doesn't order a burger, just grabs him a pop in there. He gets back on the trail, gets back on that marathon. He's running a little bit further, and he comes across Dylan's store. He sees that Dylan's store, and he goes, you know, I'm short on some groceries, could use some bread and bananas. So he goes inside on a full stomach, grabs some bread and bananas. Now he's carrying the bread and bananas, and he's running back to the marathon. He goes a little further, he sees the bank. He goes, yeah, I got a check to deposit, and I could use a little cash. I just spend it on the bread and the bananas. So he goes to the bank with his bread, bananas, and full stomach, and he goes, he puts his check in, he gets a little cash back, and he doesn't quite make it on the marathon route back this time, but rather he looks across the street and he sees the Lowe's. He goes, you know, I've been wanting to build a chicken coop. And so he goes in there and he orders all the lumber and gets it all put together and gets it on a cart. He walks it out the door and he's going, I have no way to haul this and I ain't pushing it. So he goes down to Long MacArthur and he says, my truck's a piece of junk anyway. I may as well. I got the time. I got the money. I'm going to upgrade it. Got some of the money. So he goes and buys himself a truck. He goes back to the Lowe's. He picks up his lumber. He puts his groceries in. He's got his full stomach. He drives home. He starts to assemble that chicken coop. And he goes, I'm going to have to pay for this truck. I need a second job. So he gets a second job. He applies. He gets it. And now he's got the truck, the chicken coop. He's got the bananas. He's got the bread, the full stomach. And he looks pretty good, doesn't he? Most of us look at him, hey, it's great. Question is, what happened to the marathon? He got diverted. He got sidetracked. And so the point is not that bread, bananas, Burger King, Lowe's, and all of this is bad. The problem is when you let those things entangle you, suddenly you lose your main focus and you look good in life, but you are no longer running down the path that God has called you to run. And if you look down in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, once again, it says this, no soldier gets, I think I looked this up in every version. Does everybody see the word entangled? Is there anyone who has a different word than entangled there? Okay, no soldier gets entangled. It's like a spider web. Walked into one of them. I used to have a house there in Salina. It was on the south side porch, little patio porch, you know, like 3x3. But the spiders just love that for some reason. If you didn't get in the house before dark, you were walking through spider webs. So we learned, you know, like check for spiders every time you go in the house. I was walking in our backyard, you know, you'd think you're in the middle of nowhere, but some of these spiders make like 10-foot swings from somehow from like your gutter to a tree that's like way over here. And you walk through it and you hit that web, and what's your first response? Ugh. Get off. So you swing that thing off of you. But if you walk through enough of those spider webs, they start to grab you like a bug. That's the picture here. He says, if you want to endure and make it all the way to the end, you have to be very aware of what is grabbing you. And you have to constantly evaluate, am I owning what I own, or is it owning me? Am I leading my life according to God's ways, or is the things and people of my life leading me? Do I have control over this stuff, or does this stuff have control over me? You see, because it's a fade like this marathon runner. It's not an instant like, oh, you're grabbed. It's, I went to Burger King. It's then I got bread and bananas. I got back on the path. It's okay. Then I went to Lowe's. Then I went and got a truck. And then I put it together. And then suddenly, where's the path? It's way left back here. Constantly evaluating whether I am entangled by my life, by my job, by my sports, by my social media, by my hobbies, by my agriculture, by my business. Am I leading them for God, or are they leading me? That's one. How do I endure? Number two, rest in God's strength. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he always provides a way of escape that you can endure it. If you got temptation, a desire to quit, a desire to give in, a desire to give up, he says, you rest in me, I will help you endure it. Next one, he says, look to the example of the prophets. Look to the example of the prophets. James 5, 10 and 11. I'm just going to read these for you. Now, but James 5, 10 and 11, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider them blessed who remain steadfast. You ever heard the story of someone who endured a lot of persecution and trials, troubles in life? You know some of them, and you usually look at them like, oh man, what a sucker. That guy just had a miserable life. Whoa, poor him. You look at people who endured great suffering and persecution. You hear their story and you go, wow. And you kind of look up to them. You kind of look to them and you go, I would love to be like you. You kind of look at them and say, man, that person is going to be blessed by God eternally, greatly. That's what this verse says. Consider those who have gone before you and have suffered these kind of things. You look to them and you go, they're blessed. Not that their life is great, but it's going to be great because they suffered, they endured. And we know that God rewards that endurance. Look to those prophets who went before you. Look to the people who went before you. He says, look at Job in verse 11. You've heard the steadfastness of Job. You've seen the purposes of the Lord in him, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You look at Job's life. I'm going to add Joseph's life. You look at what they went through. They were confused. They were discouraged. Mentally, you got to just imagine they struggled. Just depression, just sick of dealing with it. I don't know why I'm here. I can't do anything about it. But they endured to the end, and did God bless them for their faithfulness? Incredibly, Job was restored like tenfold or hundredfold, whatever it was, what he got. Joseph started in the pit. He rose to the top of Egypt, second in command. And so we consider those people blessed. And he says, that can be you. That same spirit of endurance is in you. You will earn no less a merciful reward. This next one, look to the example of Jesus. I told you to turn to 2 Timothy. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. How do you endure? You look to the prophets, you think of Job, but here's your ultimate example. Therefore, since we're surrounded, didn't Kent Holcomb just preach on this? Therefore, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run the race of endurance that is set before us with endurance, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Consider the example of Jesus. How did he go through what he went through on the cross? He looked to the joy set before him, despised the shame, and therefore endured. Next one, this is the last one. Just remember this. When you endure and don't quit, when you're so discouraged, when you want to give up, but you don't give up, you keep going, you keep your feet planted. You don't throw in the towel, you don't run away. When you go through that, the Bible says there's glory coming to you. And this is Revelations 2 through 3. I'm going to just read a repeated theme in there. I won't tell you all the verses, but read Revelation 2 and 3, and this is what you'll come across. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat the tree of life. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. To the one who conquers, I will give authority over the nations. To the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. To the one who conquers, to the one who conquers, he who does not quit, he who holds firmly to his faith to the end. You might hang by a thread from time to time, but he who hangs on to that thread, I will give the crown of life. I will give all of my blessing. He won't be hurt by saying that. He'll have the hidden manna. He'll be a pillar in the temple of my God. He'll sit with me on my throne. Hold fast, therefore, he says, to what you have. So if I just come back to where we started, and I'm about done here. To those who feel like giving up, there's encouragement. Keep going. Don't quit. To those who are careless, there is warning. And endurance is the mark of the true Christian. Can you walk away? Yes. They went out from us, but because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they're not of us. You can walk away. But he says this, don't walk away. Don't walk away in times of prosperity. That's when it's easy to get diverted off of that marathon path. Money comes your way. Riches come your way. Don't quit. He says, don't quit in times of difficulty. You may question. You may be frustrated. You may be angry. But he says, endure. Because it is the one who endures to the end who will be saved. So, wherever you are in your spiritual life today, God says this, I know what I'm calling you to is difficult. And you might struggle to care from time to time. But he says, you can know this. I will make it worth it for you. So keep pressing on. Don't quit. Endure. All right. Let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in a closing word of prayer. Lord, it's a lot I know I packed in here. Maybe an overflow of information. But I think your point is pretty clear. That you desire, you call us to, you require out of us endurance. So, if somebody's in a tough place of life right now, we all see what is on the surface, but there are some who are in struggles which we cannot see, struggles which they can't utter. There are some who are coming out of those struggles. There are some who are going to go into some struggles. But may we remember in all of that your call to us to go on, to not quit, to endure to the end, that we might receive the crown of life, that we might be saved. We thank you for the salvation that comes in Christ. We thank you for the strength and the help that comes from you to do what you've called us to. And so may we continually look to you for that help. It's all these things that we pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.